And welcome back to the Sports Ticket, Super Bowl 55. You may have heard of it. It's coming up on Sunday. You can hear it on Z96.3 The Lake with pregame coverage starting at 3 o'clock. Kickoff slated for around 5:30 in Tampa. It's the Buccaneers and Tom Brady versus Mahomes and the Chiefs. And here to talk about it and break it down is Seren Petro of 810 WHB in Kansas City, host of the program, weekdays from 2 to 6. Seren, I'm sure that you are ready to go and excited for this Sunday, and you've put your house and everything you own, you've betted on the Chiefs, right?
You know, I'll tell you what, I do like the Chiefs, and I am quite confident of that. But, you know, I am married, and, you know, the ramifications for being wrong about that would be death immediately. And so I am not messing with that kind of, you know, the downside isn't just losing the house. The downside is losing my life.
Yeah.
So, no, I haven't gone quite that far.
Okay, so you're confident but not that confident. And I feel good about this matchup as well, even though they played Week 12. And really the Chiefs handled them fairly well, although the second half we had Nick Lecky on, and he said, you know, things certainly turned that second half. And his biggest concern when he and I talked last week was the front four of the Buccaneers getting pressure without blitzing. Thus, they can drop seven and cause some problems for the Chiefs, which when you look at their one got loss with Mahomes, a quarterback this year, that was the Raiders' recipe. They got pressure the front four. Mahomes had to run and create things out of the pocket, but he also held onto the ball for a while. And then the Chiefs, I thought, fixed that later on against teams that like the rush with the front four and got the ball out of his hands a little bit quicker. Is that your biggest concern going in this game, is the Bucs' front four and the pass rush against a offensive line that's made mostly of backups from the beginning of the season?
Actually, my biggest concern is, why are you speaking with Nick Lecky?
Well, that's a good point. Good point.
Excellent yeah, that's point. Yeah. That's concern number one.
Yeah.
I love Nick. What a peach of a guy, and clearly played the game at the highest level and has a Super Bowl ring. So good guy to talk to. No, I think he's right. Right. I think that is the goal for the Bucs, is to be able to get pressure with their front four. That's what the Raiders did. If you want to go take a look at, you know, the one team that beat them and then had them on the ropes with, you know, had a lead with 2 minutes to go in the game, in addition to that win head-to-head, it's the Raiders. And a big part of their success, particularly in the first game where they really stalled out the Chiefs offense in the third quarter. You know, the Chiefs kind of had them on the ropes in the second quarter, but then, you know, defensively, you can make a case, hey, if the defense, and I think if the defense that's playing today were playing then, that game would look different because the Raiders wouldn't have been able to get out to the 40 points that they scored. But they real key to their success, yeah, on slowing the Chiefs offense down, particularly in that first one, was that they could pressure with four. And by the way, that's a Raiders defense that stunk.
Yeah.
So I can see where if you're the Bucs, you look at that tape and say, wait a minute, these guys aren't any good. Like, they never sacked the quarterback, yet they were harassing Patrick Mahomes all day. Now we've got an offensive line that's banged up. You know, why can't we dominate like this? So I think that is the recipe for the Bucs. The question is, can they actually go out and do it, and have the Chiefs corrected the mistakes? Do they have? Is the personnel still good enough for them to counterbalance what it was that the Raiders were doing? And I do think that Andy Reid's play calling, I think Patrick Mahomes' knowledge grows with every single game. His ability, I don't think anybody, you know, to this point has shown that, well, this is how you beat Patrick Mahomes. They've taken away the top, he's lived underneath. They blitzed him, he's crushed him. They try to take away underneath, he goes over the top. You know, as long as he's got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and now Clyde Edwards-Helaire back, and the other weapons, you know, throw in Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins might be back on the field. I think the Chiefs, at least listening to him this week at the Super Bowl, they sound very confident. They, on both sides of the ball, they keep saying, we'll be ready for anything. And they say it with definitive confidence. They certainly think they've got an answer for whatever the Bucs might throw at them.
Seren Petro, 810 WHB, host of the program weekdays from 2 to 6, joining us today on the Sports Ticket, breaking down Super Bowl 55 between the Bucs and the Chiefs. One of the things that I thought was very clear throughout the season, and that's how good this Chiefs team is that they knew when to flip a switch. Especially offensively. You can go back, and I think you can come up with 6, 7, 8 games where they did that. Travis Kelce said on a podcast before the playoffs started, what was the toughest thing about you know, trying to repeat? He said getting through the regular season. Because when you've been at the highest level, you can't wait to get back. And now you got to go through, I know it sounds weird, but the monotony, maybe, of going through the regular season because you know you're that good. And I thought the Chiefs, I think that it's a sign of great teams. It's a little bit dangerous at times, but it is that they have the ability to flip a switch. They played to their level of competition a lot of games this year. People knocked them because the games were too close. Who cares? They won. That's the bottom line. they did enough to win. And there was a little bit of concern about that going into playoffs. I wasn't concerned about it, and here's why. Because I felt like, well, look at the playoffs. Every team they're going to play is going to have at least 11 wins all the way through the playoffs getting up to the Super Bowl. They're going to raise their game. That's exactly what they've done. The defense has elevated their game. Mahomes has played well, except for when he got hurt, of course, not his fault. And the team has stepped up. They've raised their level of play. Do you believe that this is the Chiefs' opportunity and the Chiefs are approaching this as, you know what, we've heard a lot about Brady. We know the Bucs came back, made it interesting in Week 12. But if we play like we're capable of doing, we should win maybe even comfortably coming up on Sunday?
You know, listen, I think history is written by the victors. And that will be true, and I think it is true of all Super Bowls, and will be true of this Super Bowl as well. The narrative of each team will be dictated based upon how this game is played. If the Chiefs roll the Bucs, the narrative will be that, boy, Tom Brady, he's a wily quarterback, and he did so much to try to you know overcome and get the Bucs. What a great year that he at least got the Bucs in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs will have failed. They will be a team that couldn't put games away, that left teams hanging around, and it finally bit them. They were lucky to have won as many games as they did earlier in the year. If the Chiefs win a close game, it'll be business as usual, right? This is a team that knows how to win. Mm-hmm. If they dominate the Bucs, the narrative will be that the Chiefs did only what it took to advance throughout the regular season into the number one seed. And when they needed to go to another level, they flipped the switch and they went to that higher level. I tend to believe the last one is going to be the reality and what history says. I think this is a Chiefs team that, one, did recognize early on. I think especially with the Raider game, it was validated. They had a close call with the Chargers, but were able to pull that out in Week 2. But the Raiders getting them, they realized we are getting everybody's best shot all year. And there's increased media scrutiny. There's just pressure, just building on the, you know, okay, we've stated, we know we're good enough now, right? It's no more the excitement and energy to go prove yourself. You've proven yourself. Now it's the pressure and the weight of not failing. And I think that was a heavy burden, and they realized it. And I think the wake-up call came with the Raiders. And from that point on, there was a mindset of let's handle business, but we know ultimately what we're going to be measured on is in the postseason. And so they got up on games to where they thought they had enough, and at that point they took their foot off the gas, and a couple of teams made them get back into the seat and put their foot back on the gas. The Dolphins, certainly the Raiders had them in the seat the whole time, but the Bucs and the Dolphins made them go, wait a minute, we got to go ahead and finish this off. And every time they did, they were able to get the first downs necessary to keep the other team off the field and never have the ball in their hands with a chance to go ahead. Only the Atlanta Falcons really pressed them all the way to the end. And I think that was a sign of a team that was fatigued and needed to get that win to take the break. Since then, they were well on their way, in my opinion, to hammering the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
It was 19-3. Browns make some adjustments, get a touchdown to start the second half. It's 19-10. The Chiefs still comfortably in the lead. They're moving down the field, and Patrick Mahomes gets hurt. And give them credit. They, again, rose to the occasion, did what it took to get the win. Buffalo Bills come in. They're as much at full strength as they can be, and they blow their doors off. And I expect something similar to the Bills game in this Bucs game. I think the Chiefs know what they have to do. I think the offense with Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce, and at least a modicum of protection, has advanced to the point that it is literally an NBA offense. No one's shutting out the Lakers. Right? It's not happening. No one's winning 84-0. No one's winning 84-20. No one's winning 84-40. There is a level of offense that every NBA team, and certainly the best teams, are going to get to. Part of the strategy has to be getting your own offense. That's how the Chiefs have to be attacked. We've talked about it many times. 9 losses for Patrick Mahomes. 8 of them, the opposition had to score 31 points or more, including 44 by the Patriots when they won 44-41, 54 by the Rams back in 2018. And the difference with this team is, I think the defense is significantly better, clearly, than 18, and I think it's back to and even beyond where it was last year. I know they didn't have the run of 6 consecutive games coming down the stretch the way they did last year, but they beat better teams, right? They beat the Saints, they beat the Bucks, and they were up on both those teams early and went to the prevent, and oh, by the way, scores were what got on the board. But when the defense has had to make plays, they've made it. They got the job done against the Falcons, who are not a good team, but still are littered with first-round picks on the offensive line, have a future Hall of Fame quarterback calling the shots, have a future Hall of Fame wide receiver in Julio Jones. I can't remember if he played in that game. Maybe he didn't play. Calvin Ridley, is one of the best wide receivers in football. Their second and third receivers are quality receivers. They traded a second-round pick to get Hayden Hurst at tight end. I mean, that was a talented team, and they handled business that day. They had to handle business against the Browns. They handled business against the Cleveland Browns. I think defensively, this team is even better than they were last year. I think their coverage unit is phenomenal, as long as Fenton, or at least L'Jarius Sneed, but if Sneed and Fenton play, I think they have an answer for any offense that's out there. So I don't know that you can get the 31 points on this defense anymore, and I fully expect the Chiefs to get the 31-plus points. I just don't see the path for the Bucs winning, unless I'm totally wrong, and this Bucs defensive line plays way better than their Pro Football Focus grades say they've been this year, unless the ball is just not going their way and they're about at least minus two, if not minus three or four in the turnover differential. I think there's going to have to be a defensive or special team score for the Bucs to win this game. And not to say that if they get it, they will win. I just think those are the things that are going to have to come together. It's going to have to be a perfect game from the Bucs, and a lot of things not go the Chiefs' way for the Chiefs not to win this game.
When I look at the Bucs playoff run, and they haven't lost since they lost the Chiefs in Week 12. I look at the Washington football team going up against a young quarterback who threw for over 300 yards. They had problems against him in that game, but they got a few turnovers. And then the Saints game, Drew Brees is, I'm sorry, I love the guy. He's done. Can't throw the ball vertically down the field, so you don't stretch the defense at all. And they had four turnovers, and the Bucs had two just handed to them for touchdowns. And that's why they helped and got scored. I don't know what it was they scored in that game, but quite a few. And then the Packer game, the Packers had every opportunity in the world to win that game. And they had the boneheaded play there before halftime defensively. They dropped an easy interception right before that. They were first and goal at the 8 and settled for 3, missed a wide open receiver. Rodgers did. Then the coaching decision at the end and so forth and so on. Point being is that the Packers made mistakes and they had turnovers and the Bucs made them pay, whereas the Packers didn't make the Bucs pay for their turnovers. They only got 6 points off of 3 turnovers, 3 really bad interceptions by Tom Brady, by the way, in the second half. And I go back to that Week 12 game, Seren, when the Chiefs looked like they were going to blow out the Bucs. The strip sack fumble up 17-0. If they score there, I think it's a blowout. And then even later in the game, the defense gets 2 interceptions, Brady with just 2 horrendous throws. I mean, they're horrible. Easy picks for the Chiefs defense. And the Chiefs did nothing with those 2 turnovers. Mecole Hardman was open, and Mahomes admitted after the game he missed him. That would have been an 80-yard score, and I think the Chiefs would have blown him out there as well. And that might be a blessing in disguise that the Chiefs didn't just roll the Bucs and then feel too confident going into this game. But my point of the story is that in order for the Bucs to get to the 30-31 points that you're referring to, I believe they can't do it with just 1 turnover or no turnovers. I think they have to do it by getting turnovers. And the Chiefs don't. I hope I'm not jinxing them here. They don't do what the Packers and Saints did. They don't turn the ball over multiple times. They're not going to have this blown coverage right before halftime for an easy pitch and catch for a touchdown. And so I'm not saying the Bucs are not capable of being the Chiefs. They are, but I'm with you. I think the only way the Chiefs lose this game on Sunday is an injury to Mahomes, or they just simply have fumble-itis and can't hang on to the football.
Yep, I think we're on the exact same page. I think this is a team, you know, and I think for Chiefs fans, it's hard to get your arms around. We've had so many years, really 50 years of knowing that if our team was going to win in the postseason, it was going to take a perfect game, and they no longer are that team. When you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you can get by without mistakes, or get by with mistakes. Like, you don't have to be perfect in every aspect of the game because that quarterback can go make things up. And I think, you know, as fans, we're, oh, boy, are we going to be able to stop that running game? Or, oh, my God, the left tackle's out. I mean, what are we going to do? And I was talking to Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus yesterday, and he said, you know, listen, this isn't Jonathan Ogden that went down. Eric Fisher is a good football player. He is a good left tackle. But, you know, the Hall of Fame is not going to be putting his bust up and all that good. So let's, number one, understand that the Chiefs have a good left tackle, and Mike Remmers has played pretty good. So they go from good to pretty good, right? I mean, and don't get me wrong, Eric Fisher's, you know, for human life, is a great tackle, right? But as far as left tackles go in the NFL, he's an average left tackle. Mike Remmers, to me, is playing pretty good football. And so if you want to say he's the worst, you know, one of the worst left tackles, okay, but those are all pretty much the best guys at tackle, right? Mitchell Schwartz is kind of the anomaly of a guy who, when he's healthy, is the best tackle in football, and he's over on the right side. So I don't think, and I think Andrew Wiley did a fine job. You know, pass rush is kind of like running the ball. people look at the stats and go, oh, my God, he gave up 5 yards a game, 5 yards a carry in a game. Well, yeah, but it doesn't go 5-5-5 where you hand the ball twice off to the running back and he gets you a first down every time. What happens is it goes 12, okay, first down, 2, 3, oh, now it's 3rd and 5, we got to throw,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, pass rush is the same way. You know, you get 4 sacks, 5 sacks, and it's like, God, what a day, man. They were all over. All right, well, but he threw the ball 53 times.
Yes.
You know, 48 times he was able to get the ball off. He completed 32 of them.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of what Patrick Mahomes does. So even if you get him 5 times, even if you pressure him 15 times, he's probably going to evade the rush 6 times, and 4 times he's going to throw it away because he manages the rush really well. And that's one of the new phenomena of analytics is pass rush is a lot, you know, handling pass rush is more about the quarterback than it is actually about the offensive line. They're going to give you a couple of seconds. If they give you 3, you damn well better do something with it. 2.5, that's a stalemate. Well, Patrick Mahomes is the difference maker at 2.5 seconds, at 2 seconds. That makes plays. So, yeah, I think that, you know, like you said, there is a path to where the Bucs can win. You know, they're an NFL team. But I think the Chiefs have to do so many things wrong, so many things, because there's so many things they can make up. And here's the other aspect. When they're down, and they get it's almost the worst thing you can do is get up 10-0 on the Chiefs.
Yes,
you know, we've seen it time and again. The Browns were the Bills were feeling that fury up 9-0, and how did they get to 9-0? The Chiefs shot themselves in the foot.
Yep,
you know they're trailing 9-0 after one quarter. They've muffed a punt that gives goal to go from the 3 to the Buffalo Bills. Juan Thornhill's dropped an interception. Would have been a great interception, and he had a pass defense. But the next play, they kick a field goal. Would have taken those 3 points off the board. Charvarius Ward dropped an interception. That would have turned the game around. Tyreek Hill dropped what was at 30 yards and running full speed towards the end zone. Who knows, might have been a touchdown. He dropped that ball that the Chiefs then punted away. They played as bad as they could. And what did it create? It created the Chiefs going full bore, all out.
Yep.
And once Andy Reid, and I think he's got to find a way maybe to get to that point without having to be caged in and maybe just eliminate teams immediately. But once he gets to that point where he says, okay, I got to go get points, he incorporates the fourth down. And when they go for it on fourth down, which, granted, the Raider game, the Raiders did a great job of getting them into long down and distances on fourth downs where it really wasn't an option for them to go to. But when they do incorporate the fourth down, Patrick Mahomes is basically unstoppable. Thinking you can keep Patrick Mahomes from getting 10 yards when he's using 4 downs,
yeah,
is almost impossible. So, you know, when they get down, you actually see the best of the Chiefs. You see full-on aggression. That's what this team is built to do. And Andy Reid, really, I think, somewhat, and I don't mean this as a negative, I think it's just the overall philosophy of all coaches, and I think he was kind of leading the way of the coaches slowly coming around. I truly believe going forward on fourth down is on-base percentage in baseball. For 150 years, batting average was considered more important than on-base percentage, and teams left so much value on the table, and the game stayed behind where it could evolve to. Once they figured that out, it was a massive flow forward. Everybody now understands on-base percentage is more important, and every team, except for the Royals sometimes, but almost every team is built with on-base percentage in mind. Going forward on fourth down is the next evolution. And while Andy Reid's not ready to do it as often as the math says he should, he still does it more than most people, and he's definitely willing to do it when he gets down in a game. And at that point, you know, the Bucs, it's almost, like I said, the worst thing that could happen for the Bucs is to lead 10-0, because then the full force, you know, right? It's like when the Death Star, when the beam came online, you know, this Death Star is now fully operational. I suggest we use it.
Yes.
That's kind of what happens with Andy Reid. He starts blowing up planets when they get down 10-0.
I like that. Saran Petch of 810 WHB, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, breaking down Super Bowl 55. You really take me where I wanted to go, and that was the coaching aspect. And we look at this coaching matchup and Bruce Arians against Andy Reid. To me, there is no doubt this is no coincidence. There's no luck involved when it comes to these two coaches being where they are today. Here's why. When you look at the playoffs, and let's just look at the Chiefs game. Cleveland Browns, I know Chad Henne was in the game. 4 minutes to go, 4th down and 9. You punt the ball away, you never get it back. The Buffalo Bills kept settling for field goals. Why? I'll never understand. And they do know they're playing against Patrick Mahomes, or so I thought. The Packers, their decision making, and then at the end taking a field goal and not letting Aaron Rodgers, you know, make a play. I still can't understand the decision. I understand the math behind it, but I'm sorry. You've got the MVP of the league. You live and die with that guy on that play.
Listen, if you understand the math, then you need to explain it to me, because I don't even think there is any
no,
math.
No, I understand the math of going from 8 to 5, but I don't understand how that helps you. That part I don't get.
You can do the basic subtraction.
Yes, right.
Just the value in it, right. What's the point?
Right. And so my point is that those coaches made huge coaching gaffes, and they're way too conservative. And you look at the two coaches that are in this game. Andy Reid, 4th and 1 yard with a backup quarterback, zone 48. Most coaches, I think, obviously I think Sean McDermott, Kevin Stefanski might have, although he might have gone for it. LaFleur probably would have punted it. And he trusts his backup quarterback more than Matt LaFleur trusts Aaron Rodgers, apparently, which is mind-boggling. And Andy Reid, that's why he's still playing, and Matt LaFleur's at home, you know, figuring out what he did wrong. Bruce Arians on 4th down and 3 against the Packers, and I was wondering why they were going to punt. I was cheering for the Packers like heck, and so when they went to the sideline and they were going to punt right before halftime, I'm sitting there going, thank God. And next thing I know, they changed their mind. I'm like, oh my goodness gracious, I don't want them going for it, because I knew it made too much sense. And they did, and they picked it up, and they got 7 out of it when they were thinking they might get 3. The point being is that in today's football, and even college as well, really any level nowadays, Saran, I think coaches, some have understood it. Some get it, that you have to be more aggressive than you used to be, because the game is geared around points and offense. The rules are made to help the offense for the most part than the defense, and the coaches that are more aggressive are the ones that I think in the end, and it helps when you have quarterbacks like Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. I get that. But at the same time, these guys have the kahunas to make those play calls and to go for it. And I don't think it's any coincidence they're still playing this Sunday. And those other guys, they haven't quite caught on, and they're too conservative.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. And I'll point back to another 4th down that you didn't mention that I think is even more evidence of how Andy Reid is on. Again, not as aggressive as analytics would tell you, but he's on the edge of the wave. You know, he's on the front of the wave. He's a California guy, right? So he's in the tube, you know, coming down the wave on the 4th down decision, and that was down 9-0 to the Bills.
Yes,
right. He had a 4th and 1, and I think, you know, people will always remember the Chad Henne one, but I think just as big a call was the 4th and 1, down 9-0, and he's in his own end. I think he was at his own 45, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, my computer is still updating. The joy of that, or I would give you the exact time down and distance, but it was down 9-0, and he had the 4th and 1, and they did a little pitch out, little flip out to Darrell Williams, and he got about 6 or 7 yards and got the 1st down, and they went down and scored 7 points, and the onslaught was on. Had he failed on that, you know, he's going to be skewered. Well, you're down 9-0, and you give Josh Allen the ball on your own side of the field? Yes, that is the downside, and if you're managing scared, And you're managing like you don't think you can get it done, and you don't have a play call, you don't have players that you have confidence in that can execute the play, then maybe you should punt. But really, that's a failure by your organization to not be in a better position. 4th and 1 is literally the analytics chart will tell you. You know the first where you have to be on the field to where the math says you should go for it on 4th and 1.
You're asking me the question here. What now?
Yes.
Okay.
So where on the field should you begin to go for it on 4th and 1? At what yard line?
For me, I think most people would say probably midfield on the other side of the field. I'd say probably from your own 40 on.
The analytics say it's your own 9.
Wow! Now, I wouldn't have never gone that way. Yeah.
Which literally means every single time, because it's impossible to be 4th and 1. At any point short of that, right? 4th and 2 kicks in at like the 15 or something. You know, these charts are out there. You can look it up, and that's, you know, and I think that's, there is a little bit, those charts are based upon what everybody's always done, which is not go for it on 4th much. When people start going for it more, then I think the math will change. The calculus will change a little bit on that. But you know, the bottom line is Andy Reid is at least willing to go for it when he feels the game. Hey, 9-0. I'm not letting this get away. Let's get to work here. I've got the plays that we can still start piling up points. I'm not taking my offense off the field. And so I he makes those calls. And that was one that nobody's going to talk about. Everybody will have forgotten by next year, but it really was one of the biggest plays in the game. They got the turnaround going because he converted a fourth down when he was down 9-0, and that began the momentum for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so, yeah, I don't get why coaches do that. And Bruce Arians, for all the no risk it, no biscuit talk, you know, he pounds away with the run at a, you know, the analytics guys will tell you he runs it way too much. Now, part of that might be that, look, there's only so many plays that Brady can actually run because he throws a lot of wounded ducks when he goes down the field, and so we've got to, you know, pull that card out when we really need it and not waste it throughout the game. I think there is a little bit more to, you know, the play calling than just what raw analytics would tell you, because analytics would tell you you throw on every single down, and I think there is a reason to take the run. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Arians does have that reputation, and if he finds himself down 7-0 and faces a 4th-and-3 at his own 45, is he going to go for it because he knows he can't get the ball back to Patrick Mahomes? You know, taking field goals. I mean, that's one of the things. McDermott's an Andy Reid disciple, and he's got this quarterback who clearly is not as good as Patrick Mahomes. We now know that, just as we found out about Deshaun Watson last year when they square off in the postseason. He couldn't match the play of Patrick Mahomes. You know, and he's taking field goals. He's taking field goals at the 2. He's taking field goals, you know, deep in Chiefs territory at 4th-and-1 while he's trailing a big score. And the idea that you're going to keep the Chiefs scoreless and you're going to field goal your way back in front, or you're going to play for the pick six, that's a loser mentality. And I think most coaches are equipped with that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Packers 8-5 in the Bills. They were down 12 both times they kicked field goals deep in the Chiefs territory there, and one before halftime. I only cut it to from 12-9 and from 12-9 again later, and you're still down just as many scores. That's why it makes no sense to me. By the way, the play you're referring to, it was the Chiefs are down 9-0. They had a 3rd-and-12 at the Buffalo 34. Mahomes a pass to Pringle for 11. And that set up a 4th-and-1 at the Buffalo 23, down 9-0. So it was at the Buffalo 23. They could have easily settled for a nice chip shot field goal for 40 yards by Butker. I think a lot of guys would have done that. And Andy Reid was like, nope, we're going to go ahead and go for it. And there was the pass to Williams for 9. And next thing you know, the Chiefs score, and it's 9-7. And, of course, the Chiefs, we know what they did after that. And I think I get your point, whether it was on the Chiefs side of the field or the Bills side of the field, the point being is that Andy Reid could have taken an easy way out. And the conservative playbook would say that's the way you go. You know, go ahead and kick the field goal. You got a great kicker, and you were able to get in field goal range with a nice 3rd-and-12 pass. But no, when you got Patrick Mahomes, and I've said this for a while now, I like your analytics in regards to starting your own 9, because I agree with you. When you have the best quarterback in the league who can make plays with his legs and his arms, and he's so smart, and he can buy time, and then on top of that, you can get penalties because receivers are running around, and that extends the play. I just think that you're going to, at least 75% of the time, I know that seems high, but when the Chiefs have 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2, 4th-and-3, I don't even care if it's 4th-and-5. I like the Chiefs' chances if they would go for it almost every single time on 4th down, because you have the best player on the planet in Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I feel.
Yeah, 2 things. One, sorry, K-State fans, but you brought that play up to me. Could Byron Pringle not run right
into
the guy who's laying on the ground?
Yes.
Just go around him and get the first down, and we wouldn't have to talk about the fourth. And I love Byron Pringle, and I think he's going to have an increased role next year. But that play was just like, oh, what are you – come on, man. What are you doing? And then you know, from the standpoint of the 4th down aspect of it, I would rather have, I think, 4th-and-5, 4th-and-6 for Mahomes, because it takes the running back plunge off the table for Andy Reid, which he still seems to want to go to. Just drop Mahomes back, put 5 guys in the pattern, let him pick the right one, and you will have your 5 yards. I actually think they're even more lethal on 4th-and-5, 4th-and-6 than they are on 4th-and-1.
I totally agree with you on that. A couple more before we get to off the wall here. What about the officiating factor in this game? The reason I bring this up, Packers-Bucks game, they let them play. They let them play, and then Packer fans, of course, are upset with the call at the end, and I'm like, you know what? You have only yourselves to blame. You had every opportunity to win. Don't put it on the officials. That was a hold. He pulled the jersey, so forth and so on. Whether the ball was catchable, we can debate that till the end of time. But the point being is they let them play. If the officials in this Super Bowl let them play, and they basically only call the stuff that is really obvious, like a blatant hold by Wiley or Rimmers, but an actual hold maybe not, but a blatant one, yes. Or the corners are able to mug Kelce or Tyreek Hill. Do you think if the officials let them play, who does that bode well for? Is it an advantage for either team?
Yeah, I think when you ask that question, most people will take let it play to the extremes of, well, they're tackling Kelce, they're tackling Tyreek
right.
Hill, so he has no one to throw to, right? We're talking about realistically letting them play where, yes, when they hook them when they try to cut out. They, you know, do those kind of things. If that's how they call it, and they're calling it that way both ways, number one, the Chiefs coaching staff is too good to not recognize it. They will recognize it immediately. And Steve Spagnuolo and Sam Madison will be on their defensive back saying, listen, they're letting us be physical. You be physical, which is how the Chiefs want to play. I think the Bucs are already planting the seed that, hey, this Chiefs team does a lot of holding, right? And that's their reputation. And I think they do. I think they play good, aggressive, physical, just beyond the line of what's legal coverage, and then they expect the refs to do their job, and the refs have to decide how are we going to call it. Just like a Bob Huggins, you know, when he's got his press Virginia mindset on, or a Frank Martin defensive team. I mean, they're going to dare you to call a foul every time down, and the refs generally will back down to calling the normal number of penalties, which means that it's going to be a more physical game. And I expect that to happen here as well, and I think it benefits the Chiefs. Because teams have been trying to do that to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and really their entire receiving crew, for what, 4 or 5 years now?
Yep.
I mean, that's the teams talk about that all the time, and sometimes you see them get away with a couple. But Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are now experienced enough, particularly Kelce. He knows how to you know, make that hook blatantly obvious to the ref, let it spin him all the way around and draw the penalty. Patrick Mahomes sees those penalties more than anybody. When he gets the hold, let me throw the ball right over his head. So the refs have to call that, right? They can't be like, well, it was on the backside of the play. Patrick Mahomes immediately throws the ball where the penalty is and takes the first down. The Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. And Tom Brady's got some of that skill set, but Tom Brady's got to get the ball out so quick because he can't evade at all that a lot of those opportunities go by the wayside for him. The Chiefs know how to play against that style of football, and that's been one of the things I've asked them many times during all the Zoom conference calls we've had with or press conferences we've had with them this week is, look, older Bucks are saying the way to beat you guys is the way they beat the greatest show on turf, or almost beat them in 99 and then advanced by them in 2000 and won a Super Bowl. And that's to rough you guys up, be physical, you know, come with big hits. And to a man, all of them calmly sit there and say, we've been dealing with that for years. We know how to handle it. In fact, Eric Bieniemy, Greg Lewis, the wide receivers coach, they have all said, listen, we'll be ready for whatever comes. We'll be prepared for whatever, however they want to play the game. And I think that is one of the kind of hidden nuances. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I remember the Packers-Broncos Super Bowl in 96 or 7. I covered that one out in San Diego, and I remember how confident I was picking the Broncos all week. As I went through all the interview sessions, the Packers were just so confident. And then, of course, the Broncos beat them. But that was John Elway. This is Tom Brady. That was John Elway was older. Brady's older, so I am a little bit nervous in the sense that there's some similarities. But I think at the end of the day, the Chiefs know how good they are. They put this team back together for a reason. They have an answer for everything that's out there. Andy Reid has evolved offensively enough that if you want to play, you know, like I said, take away the top, they'll play underneath. You want to take away the underneath, they'll go over the top. You want to drop eight, then he'll pound you with the run. You put six in the box, then he's going to smoke you all day with big plays all over the field. They have an answer on offense, and I think Steve Spagnuolo has gotten to the point, and the talent is good enough with Chris Jones, with Tyrann Mathieu, with their great set of corners that are all good. No weakness anywhere across those corners. All of them, you know, grading roughly in the top 50 of the corners that are out there. And keep in mind, there's 64 starters, and they've got four that grade like 52 or higher, with three of them grading 30-something or higher. You know, they've got an answer everywhere. Derek Nnadi has really come on and done a great job of stopping the run. Anthony Hitchens is playing some of his best football. I think they have answers to whatever you want to do on the offensive side as well. And so I don't see any scenario, right? Four scenarios to a game, Bucks win big, Bucks win close, Chiefs win close, Chiefs win big. Bucks win big is not a possibility.
No, I agree.
So there's three other possibilities to this game, and two of them have the Chiefs holding the Lombardi Trophy.
All right, so what's your final score prediction? Look into your crystal ball. Tell me what you got.
I'm going to go 37-17 Chiefs. I think the offense is clicking. I think the aggressiveness is there. There's no reason to hold anything back. So I think they will be super aggressive. I think 2 weeks for Andy Reid, as we know how good he is, after a bye week now when there's, you know, no other games to have to put something on the shelf. I think you get the full force of the Chiefs. I think defensively the most underrated unit in this game is the Chiefs' defense. You know, points allowed, I think the Bucks were 6th and the Chiefs were tied for 10th, but there's a half a point difference. The difference, though, is the schedule. Chiefs playing at New Orleans, at Tampa, at Baltimore, at Buffalo. Those are four of the best 6 or 7 offenses in the league. So the numbers they posted are against better competition overall throughout the course of the year. The Raiders are a good offense. They faced them twice. You know, I think the Chiefs defense is actually the better unit. So I think the Chiefs are better on both sides of the ball. And I think that'll, and I think special teams, they're better there. Dave Tobe's the best special teams coordinator around. I think that the Chiefs win. I think they get a couple of takeaways. And I think they win this game in the fourth quarter. We're already celebrating with champagne because we're not worried about how the outcome is going to finish.
Man, I definitely hope you are correct on that. I'd like a somewhat stress-free Super Bowl, unlike last year, although I think it made it so sweet the way the Chiefs came back and won last year. This year, let's just go ahead and take care of business and take out the GOAT and go ahead and pass the torch to the new GOAT.
You know, I said last year during the year, I felt like the Chiefs were maybe mimicking the 88-89 Niners.
Uh-huh.
The 88 Niners, I think, went 10-6 or 11-5. And then won the Super Bowl. Then the next year they came back, went like 14-2, and destroyed the Broncos in the Super Bowl.
I remember that.
You know, they were the best team somewhere along midseason last year, and they're still the best team. And I expect the finish to be the same as the way that Montana Niners team finished off the Broncos. And that was, I still think, the biggest blowout, 55 to 10,
I think it was.
I think that's more likely than the Bucks winning by 10.
I love what I hear. It's just hard to bet against Brady. I'm like, Mahomes is 25-1 in his last 26 starts. It's kind of hard to bet against him when you really look at the numbers. But anyway, time for the off the wall question. Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow yesterday. Apparently, 6 more weeks of winter. Saran, your off the wall question. If you see your shadow, what does it mean, or what does it stand for?
It means that it's frighteningly large. It means that it's, you know, clearly the sun is out, and therefore Fatty should be on an old man walk or doing some crunches or at least putting down his 7th piece of pizza because, you know, shading the entire yard as an individual, becoming a human eclipse is not a good idea. And so it means to, you know, get moving. You know, the step counter should not be at 56.
I have a friend, and he makes fun of his weight like you do, and he's overweight. He admits it, and he told me one time, he goes, dude, we were talking about a shadow or something. He goes, a shadow, it's like somebody's following me all the time. I'm like, what? It's like, I guess when you really think about it, you keep looking back, and there's that shadow. It's following you all the time on the right day, you know?
Yeah, well, I could say, you know, I don't know, if people from the Greek system, your shadow should not be the Greek symbol, the Greek letter phi, right? You know?
Right.
I think that's the one, right? The circle with just a little line up on the top and the bottom. Like, yeah, you should not be round with feet.
Yeah,
for a shadow.
that's funny. All right, let everybody know how they can follow your work, my man.
Yeah, at Soren Petro on the Twitter, SorenPetro. You can hear the program at 810whb.com or on our podcast there at the same location.
Always a pleasure. Go Chiefs. Thanks, Soren. Take care, bud.
Always my pleasure, Wade. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Soren Petro, one of the best in the biz, 810 WHB Kansas City. Check him out. He is our guest today on Sports Ticket, breaking down Super Bowl 55.